It's Casey on the radio, the Health and Happiness Show, brought to you by Hudson Valley Hospital Center, a better place to get better.
Hi, it's Casey. It took me far too many years to get to Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, but now that I have visited, I want everyone to know everything that's going on there. So today you'll meet Skip Backus, the Chief Executive Officer of Omega, and he invites you to the Sustainability Conference that's happening at Omega next weekend, October 24th through the 26th. Omega Institute, 300 acres of thoughtfulness. Possibly one of the best places on earth, with one of the best buildings on earth for sure, the Omega Center for Sustainable Living, a green building that is a destination for those who want to see how well we can work with nature. That's on the way. First, meet a woman many call a bad mom, Lenore Scanese. Lenore is coming to Tarrytown Music Hall on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, that's October 22nd. She's the free-range kids author and mommy blogger who launched the anti-helicopter parenting movement. She says kids are safer and smarter than our culture gives them credit for. Okay, full disclosure, I never heard of her. I remember being pitched to talk to helicopter mom experts and anti-helicopter mom experts, but I steered away from it. It didn't feel nutritious to me. But now that I have spoken to this feisty lady, I introduce her to you. And I apologize, I am one of the few, Lenore Scanese, who hadn't heard of you until today.
Really? Okay. That's fine.
Can you believe it?
I can. Maybe you are like on a media diet or something, which is probably a sane thing to be.
You are the world's worst mom. You have been called such?
Just America's worst mom. I got bumped up to world's worst mom just for publicity purposes.
But, oh, okay.
But if you Google America's worst mom, I'm there for 77 Google pages.
Well, how did that happen, Lenore?
Oh, that happened a bunch of years ago already, 6 or 7 years ago. I let my then 9-year-old son take the subway by himself, which is something he'd been asking me and my husband if we would let him do. And so one sunny Sunday I did, and as a newspaper columnist, I wrote a column about it. That's what I do, you know, mine my life for tidbits. And after it appeared, I was just on every possible television show and have been, I'd say, for the last 6 years, trying to defend my actions as not negligent, not unloving, not crazy, just a mom who trusts her kid and trusts the world. And that was it. Then I started my blog, which is Free Range Kids. I wrote the book, Free Range Kids. And now I give lectures on how we got so scared for our kids. How come we can't let them do anything that we did when we were growing up and our loving parents let us walk to school, play outside, you know, make a play date, God forbid.
Free Range Kids. Okay, so now you're bringing a show to Tarrytown Music Hall, and you're mm-hmm. and you're going to talk about just this?
What I like to talk about is, and maybe this sounds a little cerebral, but it's really fun, is how did we get so scared? I mean, you know, when I was a kid and walking to school, not only was I like 5 or 6 or 7, but my crossing guard was another kid. Do you remember that from your own childhood?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't have a crossing guard. I crossed the street by myself.
Wow, and live to tell the tale.
Yeah.
Well, that's what is interesting to me. How come those of us who grew up that way feel like it's a crazy, negligent, you know, see on the nightly news way to raise our own kids, to let them outside and do something on their own? And I don't ever blame the parents, because it's not like we all suddenly woke up and decided to be neurotic. It's that we've been having this sort of fear culture shoved down our throats for the last 20 or 30 years, and it's not surprising that we would end up feeling afraid, just like it's not surprising after you've seen, you know, 20 ads for Papa John's pizza that you think, what should I eat? Pizza. I mean, it really is, the fear is ubiquitous and it seeps into our bones, and I talk about how it got there and how to get rid of it.
Lenore Scanese is our guest. We are talking to America's worst mom. Let me ask you this. When your yep. 9-year-old son took that subway ride, it was all set out beforehand. This was an experiment, right?
Well, it was something that he had been asking my husband and me if we would let him do. He wanted us to take him someplace he had never been before and let him find his own way home on the subway. This was not something that our older son had asked us to do, and mm-hmm. so we had to think about it a little bit. You know, we knew, we're on the subway all the time. We live in New York City, and so we knew the subways. We knew he knew the subways. He can read a map. He speaks the language. And we decided he was ready, so we were ready, and that's what it was. So it wasn't like one day I said, this is the route you're going to take, and
right.
I didn't do all that.
It wasn't Hansel and Gretel time.
Well, it sort of was. Without any bread, how do you like that? And without a cell phone, I think that's what really killed people, is that I didn't give him a cell phone. And when I tried to explain that I was very confident that he would get home and not very confident that the phone would get home, people thought, oh, well, she loves her cell phone more than her son. And that's when I felt I had to start my blog, because I had to explain to people that, thank God, I had my own platform. That's what's great about the web. That I love safety. You know, I love helmets, car seats, seat belts, fire extinguishers.
You're all for it. Got it.
I'm all for it, yeah.
But let me ask you this. I'm sure you heard from a lot of people who said, hey, when I was a kid, I rode the subway all the time. I rode the buses all the time. I walked 30 blocks in Manhattan. You heard from those people too, didn't you?
The big disconnect for me is that everybody wanted to tell me their story about how much fun they had as kids and all the adventures they had and the time they got on the wrong subway or the time they got lost on their bike or the time, you know, something went awry. And then all the pride of having found their way back or met a squirrel or petted a dog or made a new friend, you know, hit a home run while they were on their way home. Everybody wanted to talk about their childhood and their happy memories. And then in the next breath, they would say, but I would never let my own kid do that now.
All right. So we're talking about how we got so scared. And I have to say, one of the reasons I probably never heard about you is because I don't watch a lot of TV, and I've never watched all of these crime shows that people have as a daily diet. The NCISs and all
right.
of the words and the SVUs and all of that.
Right. All the initials, right.
I don't understand how people can watch that, people being murdered and people being dismembered and people being cannibalized or whatever,
right.
and then go to sleep and expect to have sweet dreams or expect to feel strong and healthy the next day. That's probably why I never heard of you, because I kind of stay away from anything that smacks of that kind of a diet. So how do you think we got so scared?
Well, I think part of it is that most people are on that very terror-rich diet, because that's what's on TV a lot of the time. And whether it's the news or Nancy Grace or Law & Order, you're going to be seeing, like what you just said, the dismemberment. There's actually a Law & Order episode devoted to me that I talk about in my lecture. But it's not just that the media is so oppressive and filled with horrible stories. It's also we live in a litigious time, and that means that we've gotten just almost knee-jerk used to looking at things through the lens of danger. Ooh, why do they have a bouncy house? Haven't they heard that those, you know, sail away? And, oh, what about that trampoline? I'm not sure I should let my kid on that. And, oh, there's swings at the park. What if the park district gets sued? What if a kid gets hit in the head? I mean, we've almost become trial lawyers in our heads and look at everything imagining how it could hurt a kid. You know, I would never microwave my macaroni in a plastic dish. You know, I mean, everything is seen as something very dangerous that could hurt a kid. And so that's another reason we're scared. And then the other two reasons I talk about are that we're in an expert culture with everyone from what to expect on down telling us all the horrible things that could go wrong if we don't, you know, exercise incredible self-restraint and never eat, you know, a bologna sandwich for 9 months that we're pregnant and make sure that we play the right music and the right toys and the right classes and the right this and that for our kids all along the way. And finally, that sort of dovetails with the marketplace that's out there. If you can scare a parent, right, then you can sell them anything to get rid of the fear. Oh, are you worried that your kids might get lost? Give them this GPS. Are you worried your kids might fall behind? Play them SAT words while they gently fall to sleep. I mean, there's no easier dollar to extract from the world than the dollar from a worried parent. So right. All these things together are making us crazy.
We are talking to Lenore Scanese, the world's worst mom.
And America's worst mom.
I'm sorry. I keep wanting to give you a raise.
Bumped up.
As you talk, so many things go through my mind. You know, we talk about media and the terrible things on television, but we humans must have a diet for it, because if people didn't love it, you know, this diet of terror, all these shows wouldn't be possible. I want to ask you about your son. How old is he now?
Oh, my God. He's 16. He's taller than me. Talks like this. All he cares about is the Giants.
And is he an explorer of some kind?
Yeah. To it, you know, he's not Christopher Columbus or anything, but he'll get on the subway. He'll go do things. We, you know, basically, if it involves getting to a sporting event, somehow he'll figure out how to get there.
Yeah. And how does he feel about all of this?
He doesn't really care. I mean, do you know any 16-year-olds who care about what their parents do for a living?
Oh God, no.
Yeah.
All right. So, who are the folks that are going to come to your show Wednesday night?
Well, I'm hoping that, of course, I'll get a bunch of parents because a lot of people who come to hear my talks often say that it makes them so, they leave not only having laughed a lot, but they leave so much more hopeful and relaxed and just less less anxious than they came in. It's sort of the same effect people get from the book. Anyway, so I'm hoping that there will be parents. But basically, if you've had a childhood, and I think that that encompasses pretty much, you know, everyone I'd like to come to my show, you will recognize the olden days versus the new days, and it really has changed. I mean, it's not just me being a middle-aged mom saying, oh, when I was a child, blah, blah, blah. So I have, like, these kind of astounding examples of how different times are now and how little we let our kids do and really where the fear comes from. It's, to me, as an American studies major, and then I was a newspaper reporter for 14 or 15 years at the Daily News, and so I'm just really interested in how culture can change so fast and how we can become completely convinced that any time our eyes are off our children, even for a second, even turning around in line, that they will be snatched. And I talk about, you know, what that's doing to us. It's driving us crazy.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people on anxiety medication.
Right.
I want to ask you this. So you were a reporter, and now you were a full-time writer and blogger. And is this all a direct result of having let your child take the subway at 9 years old?
Well, that and a direct result of the sad fate of newspapers in America.
Right.
In that I was at the Daily News. They had layoffs. I went to the New York Sun. It died. And at the same time, I was writing about my son, S-O-N, taking the subway. And so it sort of dovetailed. But I'm actually, you know, I'm happy about this turn of events. I've lectured all over the world. I've been to the Sydney Opera House. I've spoken at Microsoft. And now I'm coming to Tarrytown. So my life is complete. It's just introduced me to all sorts of really fun, interesting people. And I feel like my brain is on fire in terms of just putting ideas together every day. Like the fact that we use the word predator now. I mean, people didn't used to use the word predator when we were growing up. It was, you know, there were kidnappers, sometimes there were murderers, there were flashers or whatever, but now everybody's lumped into this category of predator. And as somebody wrote to my site the other day, which it just felt like a new revelation for me, maybe everybody else will be bored by this. It's like, if we're surrounded by predators, it's sort of like being animals who are prey. And so then you feel like, of course you can't turn your back because the predator could pounce and your child could disappear. And so simply by making a new word popular in the world, the word predator, which I was growing up, it was a lion was a predator, wasn't the guy next door. And so just that word itself has made us so much more afraid. And so every day somebody writes me something interesting like that on my blog, and I just feel like my mind is expanding in ways I never expected.
As you say that, I hear people, though, saying back to the radio, but Lenore Skenazy, there are predators in the world.
There are some terrible people in the world, it's true, and there always were and there always will be. The thing that is hard to grasp, and I don't blame people for finding this almost hard to believe, but the crime rate today is back to the rate it was in, well, do you want to guess?
1964.
63. Oh, my God. How did you know that?
I'm just a little bit psychic, just a little bit and only occasionally. But, wow, I was only just really guessing. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. We're at a 50-year crime low. And sometimes people will say, well, that's because we're keeping our children indoors under lock and key and leash and, you know, GPS. Mm-hmm. But, in fact, crime is down not just against kids. It's down against grown women. It's down against grown men and houses and cars. And so if you didn't think that your parents were crazy and negligent or at least ignorant in sending you outside to play at the park or to spend the day on your bike or to walk to school, you're not being any different from them if you choose to do those things.
We could talk about this for hours and hours, but instead I'm just going to send everyone to the Tarrytown Music Hall Wednesday, October 22nd to talk to you as you'll be sharing on stage as America's worst mom.
Right, I will. And plus, I'll, of course, I stay there until the last person leaves and the janitor is tapping his fingers on the table because I love talking to whoever comes. So questions, answers, if they have books, I'll sign books. But basically, I'm just there to talk about how scary it is to be a parent today and how it takes a little bit of gumption to fight that fear and then the joy that comes flooding in when you do.
A website for more information.
Oh, well, of course, you can go to the Tarrytown Music Hall website. And that's where I'd suggest you go because Free Range Kids, my site, has all sorts of information on topics of the day that I'm interested in. But if you want tickets, it's go to Tarrytown, Tarrytown Music Hall.
Tarrytown Music Hall.
Call now.
TarrytownMusicHall.org, and you are FreeRangeKids.com.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lenore Skenazy. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I hope I see you there.
That's Lenore Skenazy. Find her at Tarrytown Music Hall this Wednesday night at 8. And by the way, never microwave anything on a plastic plate or with plastic wrap. And if you can avoid hot dogs, you should. Be careful in the crosswalk. Earplugs out, people, while you're walking through the crosswalk. No texting and walking or listening and walking. And by the way, text me when you get where you're going and when you leave. And make room in your life to recycle and love your Mother Earth. We're going to Omega next.
It's Casey on the radio, the Health and Happiness Show. Friend it on Facebook and follow it on Twitter. Casey on the radio, fun and inspiration.
It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. A good reminder to schedule your mammogram. Where you make your appointment is important. Choose a facility with the latest in screening and treatment and top doctors. That's what you'll find at Hudson Valley Hospital Center, the first hospital in Westchester to offer 3D mammography. The Ashikari Breast Center offers world-renowned breast surgeons and the latest treatments, like intraoperative radiation. Learn more at hvhc.org. Do you have a non-healing wound? You may be a candidate for treatment at Hudson Valley Hospital's Center for Wound Care and Hyperbaric Medicine. Now celebrating its fifth anniversary, this renowned center is one of two facilities in all of New York State to receive the top rating, accreditation with distinction, from the Undersea and Hyperbaric Medical Society, the nation's foremost authority on wound care and hyperbaric medicine. Learn more about this Center of Excellence for Wound Healing by visiting hvhc.org.
Did you know meditation shifts brain activity from the worry-prone side to the happy, calm side? Or the right frontal cortex to the left frontal cortex? A study at the University of Massachusetts showed this brain shift reduced stress, anxiety, and mild depression. Other studies have shown only 10 to 15 minutes of daily meditation slowed the progression of dementia by 5 to 10 years. And the physical benefits? How about reduced risk of heart attack and stroke, lowered blood pressure, better blood sugar, and fewer gastrointestinal complaints, all without medication? There are different styles of meditation to suit your personality, so no, you don't have to sit still and chant Om. If you need help getting started, try a guided meditation that are easy to find free on the internet. Or for more one-on-one help, contact a mental health professional with training in meditation. This is Marcy Niffen, licensed clinical social worker with your Mind-Body Minute. Find me at www.mindbodyputnam.com.
Hi, it's Casey. Plan a trip to Omega Institute in Rhinebeck if you haven't been there already. 300 acres, it's been there since 1977. It's a haven for wellness and personal growth and global social change. I spent a late summer day at the lake there, lunched in the Omega Cafe, and drank up all the great energy in the bookstore. If you go there next weekend, take in the Sustainability Conference, and you'll meet Skip Baucus, who says you are absolutely invited.
Well, basically, the conference is open to anyone, whether you're someone that's an environmental activist or architect, engineer, public official, or a person just concerned about the collection of indicators that seem to be showing difficulty in terms of how we're really living in our environment and want to actually learn things you can do.
All right, let's start there. What are things the average person can do in their homes?
Well, for an average homeowner, there's a whole list of things, from recycling, of course, as a very basic. But what really needs to happen is people need to do a life sort of evaluation. How are you living? What are you consuming at what level? And what do you really need? The best indication that I always get with this is around the number of new cell phones that are constantly coming out, and the resources that it takes to manufacture a cell phone, and why do we need to keep constantly reinventing this piece and using that level of resource, especially when you get a new cell phone, of course, you have to buy all the new plugs and all the new chargers, and it just becomes an incredible waste. So the real question is, how much do you need, and how best can you minimize your impact by making smart choices around your consumerism?
All right, making smart choices around your consumerism. And how do we get companies on board? You know, everyone loves the company that makes the cool gadgets and cell phones. Could they ever get on board and say, hey, this is what we're going to make and you should keep it for 10 years? I guess they'd be shooting themselves in the foot, you know, as far as capitalism goes, right?
Yeah, well, planned obsolescence has been in the capitalist pipeline since day one, basically. I mean, go back to automobiles. Your automobile is designed to only last a certain amount of time so that you're continually repurchasing and using resource over and over. More than anything, the reason why we started with this Where We Go From Here conference at Omega is to really establish that there is a way to change this momentum. And the way to change that is through coming together as a community in a platform that we're exploring the principles of what are called the commons. So in other words, there are things that are our particular inheritance, if you will, water, air, our culture, language, music, all of these things are part of our shared inheritance. So how do we steward those, and how do we make decisions that preserve that mood going forward for future generations?
Yeah.
And I think that's the core of what this conference is about. How do we come together as a community and really create a way of being together that ensures that these precious inheritances are preserved?
Right.
Whether it be water or our culture. I think people are realizing things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't want to, you know, a lot of times sustainability gets looked at separately from more global issues. And you can't deal with sustainability if you're not dealing with economics. And you can't deal with a lot of the conflicts in the world if you're not dealing with economics. And the culture of the have and the have-nots and the struggles that are already taking place, that will be even greater when they really start to fall into water wars, so forth. So these are things that are already happening that we can see examples of. And it really needs an integrated approach because all these issues are so interconnected. You can't deal with environmental issues if you don't look at economic issues.
Right.
It's just not possible.
All right. We are talking to Robert Skip Bacus, Chief Executive Officer at Omega. The Omega Center for Sustainable Living will present Where Do We Go From Here? Building the Collaborative Commons. It's a major conference, and this is happening Friday, October 24th through the 26th. Now, you at Omega have a particularly interesting building, the first green building in America to receive some pretty heavy certifications. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that would be our Omega Center for Sustainable Living. And that's the first building to have both LEED Platinum status and also Living Building Challenge certification. Essentially, what that building is it started out as our wastewater treatment plant by using an eco machine, which is nature's way of purifying water using plants and microorganisms. And we needed a building to put a section of that eco machine in. We designed this building, and it then became a project that was the founding of the Living Building Challenge, which basically you have to generate all of your energy on site for the building's use. So we have a large solar array. You can't have about 30 different chemicals in the building. You have to buy all your materials within a certain distance of the building. And fundamentally, it is the next edge in architectural design and construction. So it's a very much a leadership statement. But when you combine it with the fact that it houses our eco machine, which basically 100% of the water that we now use on campus, whether you're using a toilet or a shower or a sink, both gray and black water, now goes to that building and is purified with zero energy and zero chemicals and then used to recharge the aquifer. We essentially have a closed hydrological loop on campus, so about 50,000 gallons of water a day and 26,000 people a year coming through this property. We've managed to come up neutral in terms of how relate to our water resource, which is critical in this time.
Unbelievable. Now, how soon, if ever, do you think it will be that this type of building that you have, that totally cleanses water without harming the environment in any way, how long before this becomes commonplace?
I think commonplace, I think, is a while, but it already is showing up in a lot of places. We have people come visit the building from all over the world, and right now, whether you look at the city of Peoria, they're using an eco machine technology there to deal with the combined stormwater that they have. When you get a storm, a lot of times wastewater combines and winds up in our rivers. That happens even here on the Hudson River.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many, many living machines and eco machines that are now being built around the world. I think there are now 4 or 5 fully certified living buildings in the United States and several globally, and more and more and more you're seeing that type of an integrated design at the core of architecture. So I'm very optimistic that from that standpoint, you'll see more and more fully what are called net zero buildings, fully integrated building design. And these buildings all have to take into account the occupants. You know, all of these technologies are great, but if you're not working on the level of human consciousness and awareness to actually integrate the human aspect of this, how the building is used and lived,
right,
you're not going to get you know, nearly as far as you could if you were paying attention to that.
Right, because it all comes down to us, how we use the water. It's got to work for us. You got to know the room, right? You got to know who you're
exactly.
building for. All right, so speaking of knowing the room, please tell everyone what's going on at Omega, aside from just this sustainability conference. What's going on there? Because everyone's invited to visit, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we run a range of programs. The campus itself is a seasonal campus. We open mid-April and we run through the beginning of November. And we run a range of programs, everything from yoga to the creative arts to business programs to women's leadership to veterans and post-traumatic stress and, of course, all of our sustainability initiatives. We have a great program called Ecological Literacy that actually runs a month-long program where people come in and they get a more systems-thinking approach to the intersection between human existence and natural life. So, and most people come for a weekend or a five-day, and as I say, it's a real diverse course content. Some people come and visit for a day. We have many tours that come for the OCSL or come to visit our store on campus, our bookstore. Beautiful location, 300 acres in the Hudson Valley in Rhinebeck.
Now, can we come for lunch and to visit the bookstore after November, or does that close too?
That closes also. The only thing that remains open year-round is our office facility and the Omega Center for Sustainable Living.
All right, so here's what we have to do. We have to get to Omega before mid-November and then get back as soon as you open again in April, is it?
That's it, yes.
All right, looking forward to it. And your conference again, where can people get more information on the sustainability conference?
The best thing to do is go to eomega.org and you'll see a box right on the landing page that'll take you right to the conference information.
That's eomega.org. The sustainability conference is next weekend. Omega in Rhinebeck. Get there soon. And visit me at caseyontheradio.com.
You've been listening to Casey on the Radio. Hear more at caseyontheradio.com. The information shared on this show is intended for general information purposes only. You can contact Casey through the website, caseyontheradio.com.